Hello, Lisa. Thank you for joining us today. So
Yeah,
happy to
thank you
have
for
you
having
here.
me.
So I wanted to ask you, how did you get into this work, working with feminine energy and healing and Tantra?
I felt like I was guided to it, to be honest. Like I was a yogi for a long time, and yoga felt like actually a very masculine practice. It was super healing. It dropped me into my spirituality in a way that I really needed. But I started to feel, after many years of being a dedicated yogi, I started to feel like there was something missing, and I needed some way to access my emotions. And I would feel a lot of emotions during my yoga practice, but there were specific emotions like anger, for example, that I felt like I didn't have an outlet for. Anger, and then I still found myself like getting caught in, let's just call them toxic relationships with emotionally unavailable men. And like I had all these like patterns that kept repeating, and no matter how much yoga I did, no matter how much I meditated, I couldn't seem to break those patterns. And then I felt a really strong calling to go to Bali. I had just started a coaching business like a year earlier, and I was living in New York, and I was coaching people on food, like helping them to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, because that's something that I had moved through, and I had an eating disorder for 20 years that I healed. And so yeah, I was doing this coaching, and I was like, I think I should leave New York and go to Bali. And so I did, and it was Bali really that activated me into the sacred feminine, into Tantra, because Bali is such a tantric place. And I didn't even realize that that's what was happening at first. I just was kind of in the flow of the energy of Bali. But as the years went on, and I started doing some Tantra trainings and understanding what that work was about, I realized that that's what was happening, and I was learning to feel all of my emotions. I was learning to access my sexual power, and just like come into my body in a way that I never had before, and experience like real love and reverence for my humanness. And yeah, so it was just Bali activated me, life activated me into it.
It's interesting because when I did my yoga teacher training, I did it in Bali, and that's I really know what you're talking about. The energy there is just so magical, and it's I didn't connect it to the feminine, but it is very feminine, very tantric. And
Yes.
so it makes a lot of sense why that kind of initiated you into that. And the practices that you learned, the tantric practices, were they like physical practices, like to get into your body? Like what kind of practices helped you release your emotions and transmute your emotions?
Well, I first started with ecstatic dance. And the ecstatic dance and the contact dance became like my temple. It became a place where I could just fully feel whatever was arising, and come into my body and be with and just like be with what was really here, even if it was uncomfortable. And it was accepted in that space. The ecstatic dance in Bali specifically is like a place where you can really bring all of you. And then through trainings, I learned like more formal emotional release practices. I learned a lot of like specific tools, like aspecting. I learned like tools for relating. I learned how to work with like a yoni egg, and
Yeah,
yeah,
a lot of
there's so
embodiment.
many,
Yeah, different ones.
yes, so many different types of practices, you know, like some were like more role playing, some were more like intellectual, some of them were really, really just about being witnessed.
I like
And
that because a lot of people, when we think of Tantra, I'm sure you get this a lot, they think of sex. So I think it's interesting that
right.
you were mentioning a lot of other practices that people can just do that are really deep in healing, and it's not, it goes beyond just that aspect of it. So I think that's,
Absolutely.
especially the ecstatic dancing. I've recently been more interested in doing that. I think it's really cool, like just to get out of your body and dance and not think about what you look like. And because at least for me, like when I dance, sometimes I still like it's a little uncomfortable to like let loose, like and dance. So I think that's like really powerful. And you mentioned
Yeah.
rage too, which I think is interesting. Like, what are your kind of relationship with rage? Like, how do you help your clients access that? Because that's such a hard emotion for some of us to access. I think especially as women too, like to have the right to feel angry,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I want to just address what you said about tantra and sex, because it's really true that like most people think that tantra is about sex, and it's not. It's really not. I mean, it's not the essence of tantra. Tantra is really about like accepting and embracing and loving all of you, all that you are, and like reclaiming. And in doing that, it's like reclaiming the parts of us that we have rejected, shunned, neglected, repressed, shamed, and sex is a part of us, so many of us, where we carry so much shame and so much fear and confusion, because we're not really taught about sex in a healthy way. Sex is considered something that we like we don't really talk about, it's and so tantra is shedding light on that, and that's why sex gets a lot of focus with tantra, because it's one of the few spiritual modalities that embraces sex as sacred. And there's such a need for that in our collective to recognize the sacredness of sex. There's so much healing in that, that that's why it gets so much focus. But tantra is so much bigger than sex. It's really about embracing the holiness, the sacredness of all of you. So that includes rage. Like that includes your anger. And I'd say like if there's one thing that is kind of my specialty, it's rage.
Love it.
I had a lot of anger growing up, and I've always been very fiery. And then of course I learned like you can't be this way, especially as a woman. Like you can't you and when I started getting into spirituality and yoga especially, I was like, oh, I need to rise above my anger. This is a low vibration emotion, and I would like shame myself for having anger. But as I started working with it in a healthy way, I started realizing that anger was my body's way of saying that my boundaries are being crossed and I'm letting them. So I would get angry at someone, but actually it was usually me allowing them to cross my boundary. It was me not owning my no oftentimes. And so once I started tuning into my anger in a healthy way, I started seeing like, oh, this anger is actually supporting me. It's helping me to get in tune with my true boundary. And when I stop shaming it and rejecting it and actually learn how to listen to it, then I can respond in a way that's true to myself. And then I don't have to like have these big like bursts of anger or like resentment towards people, but actually it's like it's expressed in a healthy way. So that's one piece of it, is like learning to recognize the gifts in it. But the other piece is, if you have been repressing your anger for many years, there's a lot of anger there that's buried, and it might come out as passive aggressiveness, as bitterness, as self-loathing, resentment, frustration, in some cases it's depression. It toxifies in the body, and or maybe it explodes every once in a while on someone, you know, and that's actually what had happened to me when I first started working with my rage. Was I had exploded on someone really close to me, and actually lost that person. That person still doesn't speak to me, like 3.5 years later, even though I've done so much work and, you know, teach sacred rage now. But it was so traumatic for that person at the time. And so I started like giving myself permission, like finding safe spaces to express my rage. And I had so much buried rage from years, decades of not honoring my boundaries, you know, that had just built up over time. And so a lot of the tantric practices that I work with, like are tools to start to move through those emotions that have been buried for so long, whether that's rage, whether that's grief, whether that's like ecstasy, also like pleasure. You know, we bury like our orgasmic energies as well, as much as we bury the more quote negative ones. And so, yeah, they're like, when I go into an embodiment practice for myself, I'm often moving through these like buried emotions that I've buried for so many decades, or, you know, if you believe in it, then like past lifetimes, things that have been in my ancestral lineage for who knows how long. Like, I'm moving through so many of these energies. And that's one of the amazing things about Tantra is, and somatic healing practices in general, is they give you the space to feel these buried emotions and actually find the joy. Like, I don't know if you've ever had like a burst of rage that has been wanting to come up for a long time in a healthy way, or you're not like putting it on someone, but you're actually, and it feels so good, right? Like, it feels so empowering, and it's such a release. So there's actually a lot of joy in moving through these emotions.
Yeah, I actually, I resonate with what you're saying with like letting things go, because I've always been the type of person where I don't say what's on my mind. And then one day I just get really upset and the person's like, whoa, I didn't know you were mad. And it comes off very so like, that's so important to like, be able to transmute those emotions and move through them. So I think that's really powerful. And like, also when you say connecting with your sexuality, like, do you feel like there's a connection with the emotions and the sexuality as well? Like,
absolutely.
Like, on your journey?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, sexual energy is life force energy. So it's all kind of the same. And the more you allow yourself to be freely expressed in all of your emotions, in everything you're feeling, in all that you are, the more freely expressed you are sexually. And so as you start to like open up these channels and feel more and feel the parts of yourself that you've numbed, you know, we numb ourselves because we're afraid to feel. We don't want to feel these things. And when you start to open these up, you have access to so much more pleasure. And that's where you can like come into the full body orgasms and the sex that just goes on and on and on for hours and hours and hours, and is just so like otherworldly, because you're in this like other dimension of just like flowing with the energy of the present moment exactly as it is, without holding it back in any way. And it's just so intimate, it's so beautiful, it's so orgasmic, it's and it's so healing as well. And that's where sex can be such a space of healing, when it's a real sacred space of love.
Right, yeah. Like, I know when I first started to be sexually active, like I had a hard time. I didn't masturbate. Like, I wasn't able to touch myself. It was very difficult for me to feel myself. And it wasn't really until like I allowed myself to like go into therapy and stuff that I was able to like, experience it. And I remember when I first experienced it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I felt the full body with it was just with myself, but like it was such a big step for me, And like I also find that like having like a sexual partner that makes you not makes you feel safe, because part of that is our own responsibility, but having a partner that gives us a space to express ourselves, I feel like that has been very healing for me as well, like in partnership, like
Absolutely. Because you're being witnessed. So it's like, it's not just with yourself, but it's like you're being seen in the parts of you that are so intimate, that are so dear, and being witnessed in them by another and loved in them by another. And there's so much magic that happens in that. And it happens like in the sexual space where it's so intimate, but also in healing sessions with like someone who does what I do. That's actually the work that I do with clients, not sexually. I don't specifically work. My one-on-one work is all online, so we're not necessarily working with the sexuality in that way. But being witnessed in these parts of you that you've rejected or shamed, and allowing them to be seen both with yourself and with another, there's so much healing in that. And
Yeah.
so. And that's where the alchemy happens.
That's beautiful. And like, I like that, you can just work with a client too. You don't have to be in partnership, but you're helping others do that just by witnessing them, like just being their, space holder too. So I think that's beautiful
Exactly.
too, because I think a lot of people, like, we have this idea that sometimes we need to find that healing in partnership, but we could find that in a mentor, and we could find that with a guide as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes like it's safer to do it with a mentor or a guide or a teacher, counselor, friend, even before we do it in the sexual partnerships, because the sexual partnership accesses even deeper layers that sometimes we don't even know are there.
Oh, yes,
So
definitely.
it's helpful to have like a safe container that is not gonna turn against you. I mean, that's the other thing about sex. It's like once you start opening that door, love and hate are so connected. And when these parts of you start coming up, then these are shadows, and sometimes they take over, and you start to see the patterns that you don't want anyone else to see. They come up in these intimate relationships, and so oftentimes you're playing out the exact rejection that you've given yourself. You're seeing the other person reject you in that way so that you can then stop rejecting yourself. But it's really confronting. And so although sex partners can be really deeply safe in a way, they can also be deeply unsafe. It's like a safe,
Definitely.
it's like a safe space to be unsafe, at least with like karmic relationships. I think that's kind of the purpose of them, is to bring up these old patterns to reclaim them and learn to love yourself and the parts of yourself that you don't want to love, right? But
Right.
and then, of course, that's mirrored in the other. The other person shows you exactly how you're rejecting yourself.
How would you like determine the difference? Because I know a lot of us enter relationships and people do trigger us, and it's hard to tell, like, are they triggering us because this is something that we need to work through ourselves, or is it a toxic situation? Like how would you like, if you're working with someone or even in your life, like how do you determine like a partnership where you can heal with them, or just someone that is not good for you? I feel like it's hard to tell sometimes when things come up, like triggers and shadows, like you said.
Absolutely. It can be really hard to tell. I think that if the other person is doing the work and like willing to stay with you through it, as inevitably both of you are having your stuff come up, like that's just what happens in relationship. If the other person is willing to do the work and stay committed to the relationship and to you, then and you're willing to do the same with them, then I would say more times than not, that's a relationship worth hanging on to. But if you're in this kind of like push-pull, like breakup on and off again, like love hate, where there actually isn't that through line of safety and commitment, then that's when it seems to get toxic.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely.
Yeah, because it's really all about the safety. Like, ultimately, is this a safe container or not? And sometimes, I believe that the people we have the most sexual attraction towards are the people we have the most karma with.
Oh,
Because
interesting.
if you think about it, like if there's something that you need to learn, like your soul wants to learn this lesson, like for me, there's like a strong abandonment wound, right? Like I have this like needy energy, this anxious attachment that comes out in relationships, in these types of relationships. And I want to heal that. And it's a really deep wound because it's something I've rejected within myself my entire life. And so if it's coming out with someone, so if there's a really strong sexual attraction with someone and it keeps coming out with this person, it's the sexual attraction that keeps us in connection even when everything else is quote toxic and pulling us apart. Like, it's like if that sexual connection is so strong, it keeps pulling us together so that we learn those lessons.
Yeah, interesting. Like, do you find that, like, in partnership where there isn't as much toxicity, like, do you still find there is a steep sexual attraction, or do you think it's a different type of attraction?
Yes, I think there is just as deep. Actually, it can be even deeper of a sexual attraction because you have the safety to deepen over time. I think that in these like really fiery, like hot, cold, on, off types of containers, you can only go so deep because it's not safe to completely open. So in a way, like as I said, I'm tend to be more anxious, but it's actually an avoidance tactic. Like anxious and avoidant are totally linked. Like if you manifest more as avoidant, it's probably because deep inside you're very, very anxious, and vice versa. So yeah, I like the sexual energy in what I would call like a dharmic. So this is the karmic relationship, back and forth, on, off, hot, colds. The dharmic relationship, the one that's like more sustainable, can be just as passionate, but in a way where it like deepens over time.
I see. Yeah. So, like, there's healing and it gets only stronger versus a very, like, addicting kind of like on and off energy. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's interesting with being anxious and then manifesting avoidant, because deep inside, it's kind of like you said, it's a tactic to avoid intimacy as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. My
Exactly.
attachment style is, I think it's fearful avoidant, similar to that. So I noticed that I do feel like in the past I've manifested partners where there was no intimacy, but then if I got the intimacy, I'd be like, oh no, I don't want the intimacy. So I'm very passionate
Right.
energy. Yeah. Well, that's powerful. I wanted to also give you a moment to share, if you would like, how people could find you and connect with you.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Lisa Rachel Snyder. Also my website, lisarachelsnyder.com. And yeah, like I'm super available if you have any questions, send me a DM. I also teach workshops online. I teach and in person. I'm working mostly one-on-one right now, but I do sometimes have group programs and yeah, I'm here. If you have any questions, I'm super accessible.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing and coming on today. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And hopefully we can connect soon again, just to keep in touch. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good one.